Wiley Publishing, in association with Imagine That Studios and Binary Studios, presents.
Do a podcast?
Do you want to do a podcast, Serena?
Okay.
Okay.
Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast. Going above and beyond, Podcasting for Dummies, with your hosts, T. Morris and Chuck Tomasi.
Well, hello once again. This is Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast. My name is Chuck Tomasi, and as always, I'm joined here by...
T. Morris. How you doing, everybody? Great to have you with us.
Thank you for joining us, and thank you for... Hopefully you're one of our loyal readers as well. And the fourth edition of Podcasting for Dummies is out. Go find it wherever you find your favorite books, whether that's online, in store.
This answers all the unanswered questions of the previous editions. This is episode 4.
Who had questions?
Well, Sharky just said that we're inspiring him. So
wonderful.
You're welcome. That's what we want to hear. Thank you, Sharky.
Our job here is done. That's all for the show.
Thank you. See ya.
This episode is a close tie-in. It's a nice follow-on to the last one. In the last episode, we were talking about what's new in the fourth edition. And this one, we'd like to go into more of why do we even need four editions? Well, you have to remember, we've been doing this for 15 years. The first edition came out in 2005. So
15 years.
Naturally, the technology... I have seen people's kids grow up and go to college while I'm podcasting. It's getting scary now.
I know, right?
It's like, what? I still have audio clips from when your kid was little and could barely talk.
Hey, dude, what about our show intro? That clip is a clip of my daughter, Sunny. That is a clip of her.
Yep.
One of the first words she learned was podcast.
Oh, that's not...
I think she's two, maybe three. She's definitely, if she's not two, she's three. But that, what a podcast. I mean, I'm like, oh my God, my child.
So yes, four editions, because as we mentioned in the previous episode, lots has changed. Technology has changed. Workflows have changed. Even the terminology has changed of what is a podcast. And if you'd like, go back and listen to that. If you haven't, then shame on you. Go back and listen to it anyway.
Right.
We feel, as we said in that last episode, very humbled, very honored to be asked to come back and do this, because not too many books on podcasting get a second edition, and here we are on the fourth going, wow, there's something to this. And given the current situation as we record this, a lot of people staying home and, you know, hey, I need a new hobby, or I've got some time on my hands, or, you know, a number of reasons why there's this uptick in content creation and podcasting and video streaming, and that's a whole nother topic that we already discussed. But
that's something that has developed over this span of 15 years of what you and I have been. I mean, streaming was. I remember the first time someone introduced me to a streaming service, and it was a nightmare.
You stream.tv?
No, it was live stream.
We took Ustream. We had live stream.
Ustream. No, it was Ustream. You're right. Yeah, it was Ustream.
But there was no online chat like you have today with YouTube or Twitch or anything. We bolted in. We created a dedicated web page with I think it was an IRC channel in iframe.
Oh my God. IRC channel.
And it worked. We had a chat bot. I mean, it was a lot of fun. That was like 2008,
held together with chicken wire and a prayer. I mean, but the thing was that when... You know, back then we didn't have the bandwidth. I mean, I think at one point we were still, at one point we were still talking in the first edition. We mentioned dial up.
Yeah.
We mentioned dial up. I mean, it's that kind of, you know, that's how quickly, that's how quickly the technology of
even
what
if you
we've
had
been doing has changed.
Upload speeds back then. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you had broadband, the upload speeds were never really more than maybe 1 meg, 1.5 meg. And what do you need today? Like 5 to 6 to hold up a good stream?
Crazy. No, See, yeah, that's the other thing too. In the past, like between the time of me getting Twitch for Dummies published, I can assure you there have been plenty of ISPs that are going, oh wait, this streaming is a thing. So are you a streamer? Here's a nice package, you know, and suddenly you're just like, ooh. And meanwhile, I'm like, well, it took you long enough to get to this point. But, you know, that is the demands of. And I remember when COVID first started shutting down all these different things, I remember hearing another streamer, terrific guy, one of the founders of GCX, guy by the name of K-Magic 101. He basically said, if the ISPs, just to be candid, the ISPs don't shit the bed, we will keep it together as a society. So let's be so right now, Comcast is one of the duct tape, is part of the duct tape that is holding together humanity. I mean, let's just cross our fingers.
Oh, I believe it. And we had the same concerns about Zoom. Could they scale, you know, the video conference vendor? Because a lot of people were transitioning. Oh, yeah. They were really an underdog just a couple of years ago. I remember walking through the San Jose airport and they had a big billboard there and it said, yeah. Zoom. I'm like, okay, maybe, you know, they'll take over WebEx or GoToMeeting at some point. Oh, no, they are the dominant player and large part. Yep. And thanks. I mean, just look at their stock price. It's like quadruple.
Yeah.
It's, but I mean, and granted,
while Drafty, you know, just said, and he just dropped this in chat. Yes, here's a nice streaming package. Fine print, data limit. And you got to, now you're starting to see people read the fine print and all that. Yeah, I mean, it is amazing though how this technology has just in leaps and bounds, how it's evolved, and the fact that podcasting books, when you find books on podcasting, you know, you find that the ones that are self-pubbed, usually, yes, they're the ones that get brand new editions. The self-pubbed ones are also, though, the ones that they're self-pubbed. So, you know, at any time, the author can go, yeah, I'm going to do a second edition or third edition or something like that. That's if they want to even get around to it. Then you've got Podcasting for Dummies, which we were told by our editor, Steve Hayes. He basically said to us, "Yeah, we've never seen a book rally like this."
I'm a bit of a data whore, and I'm not ashamed to admit it. But every Monday, part of my Monday morning routine is go to Amazon, check and record the numbers on Podcasting for Dummies. How has it been doing? Where is it on this category and that category? Unfortunately, they just rearranged their categories about a month ago, but.
Right.
You know, now I got to track new metrics. It's kind of like, how do you track the survey results when you keep changing the survey questions? But that's another topic for another show. And we have been doing consistently well. I am absolutely blown away at how well this book has been selling while others continue to bubble up and now to the top 10 in webcasts and that kind of thing. You know, we're pretty darn consistent. And
I think part of the reason why I go back to Twitch for Dummies on this as well, is that our books, Podcasting for Dummies, Twitch for Dummies, these are not books, and we have been categorized as such. These are not books that we say you're going to get rich quick. You're going to become famous because of podcasting or because of Twitch. And whenever somebody makes that accusation towards me, I go, you obviously have not read these books, because in both, one of many things that both books share in common is a section goes, don't quit your day job. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you're not going to get rich quick doing podcasting or streaming or both. But what we have always focused on is, if you're passionate about this, then yes, pursue it. We're not about monetization. It might be one of the reasons why we don't get invited to these marketing events, because everyone's looking for the monetization. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, but your podcast stinks. Your podcast sucks. And what we focus on is, if you want to put on a good podcast, this is what you need to do.
We've even got a sidebar in there about how you will get rich in other ways. Yeah, the networks you build, the skills you learn, it grows and grows. And I feel very fortunate to be able to take this hobby that I stumbled upon in 2004, and now it is the core of my day job.
It really is.
I am just cranking out the videos and podcasts and audios, and my boss says, "Wow, that's wonderful."
I think that watching how people start a podcast and they let it evolve the way they pursue it. I mean, I just, I'm blown away by that. I'm blown away by people who come to me and they go, yeah, because of your book, we're podcasting now and we love it. One of the stories that we tell in the book is, when I first, and this was, man, I'm trying to remember when this was, this might've been 2009, maybe 2010. I show up at an author event, and this is when I first met Nick and Stacia Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you who are in chat, you know, Nick and Stacia Kelly, Cyberwolf is one. The other one is a Rev3 dude. And you also know Nick and his son, Brandon, from Happy Hour from the Tower. But this is when we first met them. And I show up with an H4 plugged in to two MXLs. And Nick is just staring at these shiny toys. And I said, would you be okay if I recorded this for a podcast? And Nick and Stacia were like, we have no idea what that is, but go ahead. Like, great. So we record the, and it was a panel about collaborating couples. And we had a blast with Nick and Stacia at this event. And we said, look, we'd love to have you come over sometime and record from our home. And they walked in here and Nick was like, oh my God, you know, cause now granted my studio is a pale in comparison compared to that guy's, what I call Darth Vader's bathroom. Cause man, there's everything in his studio. He's even got the tent, that Technorama tent, which he's envious
and
of.
And there's more coming.
Exactly. Of course there is. But I mean, you know, I've got this little area of, and every time I've done a Zoom interview, people have been like, holy cow, you're wired. And I go, I wrote Podcasting for Dummies. It's my thing. It's my jam. So anyway, so I'm doing, I'm doing all this stuff. And we get Nick and Stacia in here. And again, they had no idea what a podcast was, but because of me, now the two of them have got three podcasts just based around their family. And then Stacia, she runs bodybuilding shows, and she's now starting up a podcast with her partner where they market bodybuilding shows.
Oh, it's a great way to reach out to your customers or get new customer share. I mean, it's a wonderful communication device, like any newsletter or email blast or whatever. You know, think of it that way. If you've already got an established business and you want to leverage podcasting, wonderful marketing tool. Wonderful
sure.
marketing tool.
But one of the things that I remember we talked about when we were putting the fourth edition together, and I remember it was a hill I was going to die on with you, because you were like, I think we need to rephrase this. And I said, what is it? It's this phrase right here, T. You say, podcasting is easy,
yeah,
but podcasting is hard.
Yeah, actually, my wife caught that because I was forest in the trees kind of at that point. And she said,
yeah.
Now, what do you want it to be? Is it easy or is it hard?
And I remember you came to me and you said, T, we need to change that. I'm like, no, we're not. And I think it was, you were like, you're like, what? I mean, Chuck actually saw me get a little like, no, we are not changing
it. I think your exact words were, this is the hill I will die on. And then once you explained it to me, it was perfectly clear. It's easy to get started podcasting.
It is
learning
so
the technology, getting a hosting provider. It's a checklist, is really what it is.
As a matter of fact, somebody we haven't given a shout out to that we should have given a shout out to, like all the way back in the first episode, the folks over at Libsyn, Rob Walsh.
Yes,
could not have been more helpful to us in the fourth edition of Podcasting for Dummies. He was phenomenal, and what he does over at Libsyn, they're like, look, we'll get you podcasting within 5 minutes. If you've got a recording, boom, we'll set you up.
Yeah. Easy to start.
Podcasting is a piece of cake.
And the flip side of that is podcasting is hard.
Hard. It's real hard, Lieutenant Dan.
It's hard to keep
harder
going.
Than shrimping, Lieutenant Dan. I mean, So kick us off. Where do you think, Chuck, podcasting is hard?
It's hard to continue to find the time to make it a priority and carve out that time. It's difficult to continue to find content, as you may have run out of your pipeline at some point. I try to keep mine in all of my properties plenty full, at least one episode in advance, if not several. It's hard to keep abreast of the technologies. Hey, try this thing called Discord. Why? Wait, no, I'm comfortable in my workflow. Don't mess with it.
Exactly.
There's a lot of continual education that goes on in podcasting.
I mean, going back to Twitch, I had a buddy who I've had on the podcast before. His name is Matt Drake. He also went by It's Ord on Twitch. He's now Hats of Matt on Twitch. And for years, he was like, T, you're a podcaster. Twitch is just begging for you to come. I mean, come on, man. You got to get on this platform. And I fought it because I was like, I don't have time. I do not have time for a new platform. And then I tried it out and I'm like, oh my God, I'm hooked.
You came out to Phoenix for the launch of third edition. He's staying in my guest house and my bandwidth just kind of, I'm trying to get my day job done and he's watching Twitch all day, sucking up my bandwidth. That's when I upgraded to the unlimited, no capacity gigabit download. And we've been there ever since, which was good because Brian Brown moved in shortly after.
But I also remember that weekend you were like, T, what are you doing in here? And I'm like, I'm not doing anything salacious or anything, as far as you know, but I am watching Twitch and we started talking about streaming and I was brand new at it. I mean, this was 2017 and, I had been streaming for roughly a month at that time. And,
I didn't get it until you came out here of what is the draw of watching someone else play a game. I mean, I'd rather play the game than watch somebody play the game. And then you brought the light bulb went over my head. It's like, these guys know what they're doing and they're entertaining. I went, wait, I'm a subject matter at something. I can bring that.
Since that time, I've been doing, I'm doing this. I'm streaming my podcasting.
Yep.
Which has been a huge boon. On top of that, I started doing cooking streams. And the last cooking stream was an absolute riot. The last cooking stream I did was, it was me and Pip, and we were doing a Wing Off. And we made it, we did it as a charity stream for No Kid Hungry. And we wound up raising like $75 for No Kid Hungry. But it was a short stream. But basically, I was doing Danny Trejo's recipe. Pip was doing Snoop Dogg's recipe.
Okay.
And we did a head-on-head Wing Off. And then the stream ended very quietly because it was me, Sonny, and Pip, and we're all just gnawing on wings, just going, yeah, this is very good. Thanks for coming, stream. Good night. You know,
well, I mean, you've inspired me to start doing a stream while I'm cooking a Blue Apron package or something.
No, it's great. No, people love it because people will ask you, wait, what kind of flour are you using? Hey, what does that do? What does this do? And then people start asking you about all the different stuff. The hardest part, I think, about doing the cooking streams has been the placement of the cameras.
Oh,
but it is so much fun to do.
Yeah.
So much fun to do. But yeah, I mean,
That the camera placement reminds me of back in April, COVID hit, people are staying home. Right. And I thought, I've got this hardware and software and the basic skills to do the streaming. I'm going to start a karaoke stream. So my naming is not that imaginative. I called it Saturday Night Karaoke. It's pretty self-explanatory what happens there.
No problem.
We're only now around to naming the club. And I dug out a couple extra webcams and I've got three camera placements. So during the show, you'll see, cut to stage right, cut to stage left. Here's the center. And even turning the backgrounds so they look like they're in aspect to the rest of the thing. So there's a lot of fun that goes on in that as well.
And that is part of what you and I talked about 3 years ago. Even after the first month, I was just like, I think I'm starting to figure out this whole streaming thing. And part of it, perfect example is me playing. I'm currently playing the game The Last of Us Part Two. And people are like, why is it taking T so long to play this game? And there's a couple of things. One, I'm only playing it once a week. Mm-hmm. I'm only playing it once a week because I call it the Friday fun run, where I play something other than the game that I usually play during the week. Second thing is I'm only playing it in blocks of 3 to 5 hours. There's over 80 hours of gameplay in this. So it's taking me a little longer. But then adding to that, I will pause it. And then I will give commentary about the writing, because this game is a writing masterclass. It is, as a writer, I am eating up this game because there's so much good storytelling and character development. And this is, it is way too good of a video. We do not deserve this video game. It is that good. And that to me is part of the appeal of Twitch. It shouldn't just be about the video game. It should be about the personality and what you bring as a Twitch streamer. And I know we're getting off topic and we're bringing it back to how podcasting is hard, because where I think the difficulty of podcasting is that there is no magic formula
right.
to make a podcast work. And you know, we were talking about time and you know, and we talk about this in the book. We talk about time. It is a time sink. So is streaming. They're both time sinks, but you'll hear people say, well, you know, you have to be consistent. You have to be consistent with your podcast. And there's, it is funny too, how the things that you and I heard as podcasters about 10 years ago, that's what streamers are saying now. And now they're starting to sound like how we sounded 5 years ago. When I'm hearing a lot of experienced streamers say, yeah, the market of streaming is saturated now. And I'm sitting there going, yep, been there too. Strap in, buckle. It's going to get bumpy.
The biggest tip I can give, I mean, when we say podcasting is hard for all these various reasons, the biggest tip I can give you to keep that passion alive, to keep that spark going so that you want to get in front of that microphone every time, instead of going, oh my God, I got to write show notes. Oh my gosh, yeah. I've got to do that. Okay, that will creep in. Or, the kids are busy this night. I can't record this night. My biggest tip to you is keep your workflow as seamless, as automated as possible. You mm-hmm. will find tips and tricks as you learn and evolve how to shorten that cycle. Hey, if I pre-produce this script or this clip, then I don't have to say these words every time at the front and end of the show. Okay, boom, there. I've just shortened things up. And because trust me, there are going to be days when you can't spit out two words to go, this show is produced. No, this show is protect. This show, Creative Commons. I can say this. You will have those days, yeah. Right? The other thing is, if we're talking about streaming, one of my favorite new toys is, well, I've had it for about 6-8 months, is the Stream Deck.
Mm.
If you are considering streaming.
And he has the large one.
I have
Stream Deck. I have Deck Envy.
I had the 15-button standard one for about a month. I went, this ain't cutting it. I need more buttons. Okay. Tricks like that, because now I don't have to remember what hotkeys, what keyboard I'm using, because I've got two or three keyboards spread around this studio going, I'm typing on the wrong thing in front of customers.
And going back to the technology thing, I just learned last month, I learned, wait a minute, I can make profiles with this?
And folders. Profiles and folders are similar.
And folders, yeah. I'm just like, oh, wait a minute.
You just extended it beyond 15 keys what you did.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, now I've got different keys in here, and then
I don't think the Stream Deck made it in the book for some reason.
No, it didn't.
Okay, it is a wonder. Everybody I've talked to that does streaming gets one of these like 2 weeks later.
Oh no, Stream Deck is in Twitch for Dummies, but it wasn't in Podcasting for Dummies, mainly because, to me, for podcasting, that is a slightly more advanced tool.
I would beg to differ. I use it as my soundboard. Really? When you hear,
right. I mean, I think that we already had so much in there.
Yeah.
We already had so much in the book. And I was like, okay, here's a good example of tough calls we've made. We could have done a deep dive into Stream Deck and how it works. Like Sharky just said, I feel like I'm not using it to its full potential. But one of the things that I think that we were kind of struggling with is, okay, we can do that, or we can do a nod to some of the original podcasters.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because we should have had that in our last episode about what's new and what was added. You know, maybe second or third episode should have had that, because we wrote that last chapter. Was it chapter 20 in this book?
Chapter 20.
We added
it. We wrote it for the third edition.
We wrote for the third edition, but got cut because of page count. We said, well, we had a little, you know, not a microscope, but a process running in the background going, what can we cut out of this book so we can get chapter 20 back in here?
And we were already doing a dramatic change, bringing in a streaming channel.
Yeah.
And the thing about Stream Deck and is, for me, I would not say, you know, okay, when you're going out, you know, you're going to get a mic, you're going to get some good headphones, you're going to get this, you're going to get that. Stream Deck is almost like I would say that's like a luxury.
It is a luxury. It's getting back to that workflow optimization.
I have the analogy, and this is the analogy that will resonate with all tech nerds out there. If you're going to build a home theater system, you're going to want to invest in the speakers and the TV and all that. If you want to get the Hue lighting system, wait a while. You're going to have to save up for that. That's the way I look at the Stream Deck. The Stream Deck is the Hue lighting system.
I was going to go more with the Logitech smart remote, you know, where it's all in one. Instead of four or five remotes for the sound system and the TV and the DVR.
Menengay would not get one of those. Oh, God, it drove me nuts.
He had a Logitech. Yeah, he had one of the older ones.
He eventually got one. The first time I came to stay at that house, I'm just like, how many remotes do you need?
Yeah. I think half of them are still here.
We're spiraling down the rabbit hole.
But yeah, it's not a necessity for a podcaster. It's not a necessity for a streamer. It's effectively keyboard macros. And you can tell a button to do three or four things, like change to this camera, switch the background, put up this title, or start streaming and recording at the same time. We didn't really talk too much about that, but part of my process, when we were talking in the last episode about having a backup plan, or when you download your file and you can strip the audio off of there, I do the reverse, and I record while I'm streaming in case the stream blows up or I'm having technical issues. I've got a local MP4 that I can go, well, here, you might have missed it live, but you're not missing it entirely.
Right. And again, this is part of why podcasting is hard. And it also can get very frustrating when you are being consistent and you're creating content on a regular basis and you've got your workflows all done and then the problem is that, but my audience isn't growing or I don't feel like I'm getting a lot of people in here. And I tell people then if you're in it for the numbers, then I got some bad news for you. Maybe you shouldn't be podcasting.
Yeah.
And that's a hard decision to make because you've just invested in all this equipment and then you're like, but my numbers aren't where they're supposed to be. It's the one thing I hate the most about streaming. You have to contend with the numbers all the time. The rest of it, podcasting, I really don't pay attention to my analytics.
Yeah. I think the last time I looked at numbers was 10 years ago. Aside from work, because I do need to show some.
Work is different.
Work is different. Corporate stuff is different than the personal stuff.
But for yourself, I mean, you know, if someone comes up to me and says, well, I don't listen to Happy Hour from the Tower because there are better players out there I can listen to. I'm like, that's great. Because that's not the kind of podcast we're doing. We're doing a podcast for the love of it.
Yeah. As you were talking, I thought, this sounds an awful lot like marriage. You know, after years go by, you're going to have a different attitude and you're going to have, you know, this kind of, what is it? Familiarity breeds contempt kind of thing.
Right.
And you have to stop periodically and go, what is it that attracted me to this person in the first place? What is it I fell in love with? And if you can ask that about your own podcast, ask that to your periodically ask yourself about that podcast. Why did I start doing this? I did this because I love Destiny 2 or I love talking about Star Trek. Or, you know, keep that spark alive. Now it's getting more of a therapy session at this point.
Well, no, I was just going to say the biggest difference, though, between marriage and podcasting is that in podcasting, multiple companions is a thing. It's okay. It's fine.
And it's okay to say goodbye.
Yeah. It's okay to say goodbye. But if you want in a podcast, you're fine. but it is. This is why podcasting is easy, but it's hard. It is a commitment. And it's when people say, when people say to me, and I've heard it said, not just about streaming, but about podcasting as well. When they say, well, podcasting is an easy thing to do. I'm like, really? Are you doing it? Well, no. Why? Well, because, you know, I don't have the time. I'm like, well, then it's not that easy now, is it?
Yep.
And whether it's and especially on the corporate level, I admire the fact that that Chuck has managed to get ServiceNow on board with that, because it was the one thing that I was really frustrated about when I was doing my first full-time job, is that they wanted a podcast. And I'm like, great. What do you want it to be on? Well, we don't know, but that's why we hired you, but we want it because it's cool. And I'm like, okay, that's great too, but we need to have content for it. And then it became complicated. Because people think that podcasting is a one push thing. You start putting out episodes, the next thing you know, you're the next slow burn, or you're the next Joe Rogan Experience, or you're the next Michelle Obama podcast. And I'm like, okay, first off, a couple of things. One, slow burn is backed by BuzzFeed. Two, Joe Rogan used to be on an NBC sitcom and then was the host of a reality TV show.
Yeah.
Thirdly, Michelle Obama was the first lady.
They've already got their following.
They got a following. And this is just going to amplify it all the more.
Yep.
But when you're starting off, you got to look at it as a long game. And being a long game, your heart's got to be in it. And if it's not in it, then I don't know what else to tell you. I'd be the first one to say it. Don't do it for the numbers. Don't do it to get rich quick. If you actually make the where have I made money the most as a podcaster and as a streamer?
The books.
It's a bit like it really is a bit like professional sports, because the professional athletes really don't make their money from their contracts with the teams.
The endorsements.
They make their money on the endorsements.
That's right.
And all the other, you know, the other side hustles. So yeah, I mean, that's the God's honest truth. So why do they play? They play because they love it. Oh, minor. Rogan is also one of the faces of MMA announcing. I did not realize.
I didn't know that either.
I didn't know that either. But agree, he was also famous before the podcast. Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly. I mean, Felicia Day has started streaming now, and Twitch is all over it, of course, because she's Felicia freaking Day.
Yeah. Now, that's not to say that, you know, you have to have a following before you can launch a successful podcast.
No, you don't.
We have seen a number of podcasters grow into that success. In fact, it's been very, very entertaining to watch Grant Baciocco's career from in the last 15 years. Or what Astronomy Cast has done. Oh my gosh. You know, they read off a small section of their Patreons every week.
I still have a vocal crush on Dr. Pamela Gay. And I wear it on my sleeve. I hope that doesn't weird her out. I respect Dr. Pamela Gay, but I have such a crush on her voice.
She wrote the foreword for the fourth edition. Thank you very much.
She did. Yep. That she did.
We love her dearly.
We love you, Dr. Gay. Thank you very much for your time and attention to us. All right.
Sounds like a good sending note to me.
That's a great place to close.
Yeah.
It's a great place to close it.
If you want to find us, you can find our podcast and the related articles at podcastingfordummies.com. Find our books anywhere you find books online and in stores. You know where those places are. We're not going to list them all out here for you. Find our podcast wherever you find your podcast, whether that's Spotify, Amazon, Google, Apple. Again, you know where they are. We're out there. Or if you can always go right to the site and play it there, podcastingfordummies.com. We want to hear you, your questions. We want to hear your voice on our voice line, whether it's through WhatsApp or traditional mobile terrestrial. Does anybody have a landline anymore? But if you do, call up 703-791-1701. That's 703-791-1701, as in the Enterprise number. You can also find this stream. We will be doing these live streams to record massive amounts of podcast all at once. T and I have been sitting in this chair for at least the last 3 hours.
I did a half marathon this morning. Right now my legs are cramped so bad.
You have no We're gonna let them go, but you can find
I need
us.
Ibuprofen.
You want to watch us do this raw, unedited, and beautiful, warts and all? twitch.tv/theTMonster. Over at Twitch, you can just look for the T Monster. Do like I did. Follow, subscribe, and learn more about that. Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast, is protected by Creative Commons, non-commercial, no derivatives, share alike, United States 3.0 license. You can find out more about that over at creativecommons.org. For T and me, we look forward to talking to you next time. Until then, pod on.
That's four episodes recorded. Woo!